refocusing. Starts in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I want you to read this with me. It's on the overhead. Say it with me aloud if you would. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God wants you to have everything that you need for living, everything you need for every day. Jesus said, here's how you do it. You seek first God. You focus on God first. You make Him and His kingdom, the kingdom of God, your primary concern. And by the way, when we say the kingdom of God, what are we referring to? What are we referring to? If someone found out that you went to church today and they say, well, why do you go to church? And they asked you, what is the kingdom of God? What would you tell them? What is the kingdom of God? I believe it's a place, however, where His will is done. It's a place where the King's will is done. It's His kingdom. He's in charge. He's the ruler. His will is done. That's the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Your will be done. That's our prayer. That's the prayer of every Christian. Your will be done. But I want to remind you as we start out, refocusing our priorities is a lot more than just adding God into your schedule. Refocusing yourself on God and seeking first His kingdom is a lot more than just adding Him into your schedule. For example, you might have your regular schedule and you have a to-do list. Get up, go get the dry cleaning. Go to work, meet with the boss at 11 o'clock, lunch at 12:30, meeting at 2 o'clock, finish work at 5, and by the way, I'm going to change the world for God at 6 o'clock. It's a lot more than just adding God into your schedule. It's focusing your life on Him. God doesn't want to be just a spoke on your wheel of life. You know what God wants to be? He wants to be the hub. He wants to be the center. He must be the center. He wants to be the hub of the wheel. And I want to say this morning that I think what some of us need in this room is a change of heart. I hope you're here today saying, God, change my heart. God, have Your will in me. Something happens inside. We've all perhaps experienced this at some stage. If you've been walking with the Lord for any time, you've experienced this at some stage. A change of heart. Sometimes it's like flipping a switch, and all of a sudden you begin to see things differently. Some of us, when we came to know Christ, that's kind of the way it was. Perhaps you came and you heard over and over again about God, about Jesus, about how He died for you, and how that you just need to trust in Him and He will cleanse your sins and give you a new life. And you heard it over and over again. And then one day, all of a sudden it's like a switch went off. And it kind of hit you between the eyes and you said, oh, He died for me. Oh, that's for me. And your life has never been the same since. There are other times, though, it's different. Maybe something came to your mind, some conviction about a temptation that you've been facing. And you've been defeated, saying, I can't do anything about this temptation. And then suddenly God does something in your heart. And you begin to see it differently. And you begin to say, I have the power. I can say no to that temptation because Christ is in me. Maybe you've been seeing the world through bitter and angry eyes. And you've been living a lot of your life through bitter anger. And then all of a sudden, God gets a hold of your heart. And you realize the need for forgiveness. He changes your heart. Maybe you've been depressed, feeling hopeless. And you've felt that way for a long, long time. And God gets a hold of your life. He gets a hold of your heart. And you see things differently. You see there is hope. There is a purpose for you. There's a reason that God made you. Maybe you've been angry at somebody. God can change your heart, and He wants to change your heart. The question is, what makes this happen? You want a heart change? What is it that makes this happen? Let me give you a few things that won't make a heart change happen. A few things that are not the key. The first is pressure. Pressure. Pressure does not work to change your heart. If someone tries to push you into a heart change, what happens? What's human nature when someone pushes you? You push back. That's just human nature. And husbands and wives have to figure this one out after a while, because you want to pressure change in your spouse and they push back. It doesn't work. Pressure does not work. The second thing that does not work is guilt. Now listen, guilt is not a bad thing. Guilt is like a warning light on in your car, on your dashboard. It's good. It tells you there's a problem. But you don't want to continue on with that. You got to stop and fix it. You got to stop and fix the problem. But guilt is not something that you can use to change people. It will not work. And the third thing is time. Time. There's an old saying that time heals all wounds. Have you heard that? It's not quite true. It's not exactly true. There's a lot of wounds that time does not heal. And when it comes to a change of heart, time isn't the key either. Time is not the key. Sometimes it takes forever to get a hold of somebody's heart and to change it. And you've been praying for them for a long time. Other times, it just happens all of a sudden. And maybe they haven't been a Christian for very long, but it happens all of a sudden. And God is able to get a hold of their life, their heart, and they're changed. So today, I want to give us a few things that are necessary for a heart change. There's four things, and it's kind of like a recipe, and these are the ingredients that produce heart change. The ingredients. I have them in order, 1, 2, 3, and 4, but they're not necessarily going to be in this order. Let's take a look at them one at a time, though. Ingredients for a heart change. Number one is, I experience pain. This is one of the ingredients that we like the least. You want a heart change? Sometimes it's going to take a great amount of pain to produce that change. Have you been there? Are you there now? Pain. It could be relational pain. It could be physical pain. It could be financial pain. All kinds of pain in life. Here's what happens, though. I change when the real pain of not changing starts to become greater than the anticipated pain of making the change. The pain of not changing becomes greater than the pain of making the change. People are resistant to change. Amen? Are you resistant to change? We all are. That's why sometimes it takes pain. I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I'm hesitant to mention it because I don't want you guys looking at me every week and saying, is he still doing it? Jennifer and I have begun a workout program. And we begin getting in shape at the gym and watching ourselves a little closer. But why have we done that? Because we got to where the pain of staying the same and not changing was getting greater than the pain of going to the gym. I've mentioned this before a few times, that the pain sometimes of going to the dentist, the pain of the tooth infection has to be greater at times than the pain of going to the dentist itself. Pain can be a good thing. The Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow leads to death. He uses sorrow to help us turn away from the things that are destructive. He uses sorrow to help point us away from sin and things that are destructive in our lives, and to seek what is the greatest in our life. At church, we have a program every Thursday night. This program is called Celebrate Recovery. It's a program that we instituted to help people through hurts and hang-ups and habits in their life that they are having a hard time letting go of. It's been a necessary program for a long time, and I'm glad that we are able to do it now. But I want to tell you, sometimes it's almost humorous to see how hesitant people are to come to celebrate recovery, because there's that fear, there's that pain. And sometimes it looks like it's pain on their face to have to come and to step foot inside a recovery program. But until the pain in their life becomes greater than their fear of change, they may never come. Until the pain in your life becomes so great, it becomes greater than your fear of change, you may not come. This is true even when, especially when driving, especially with guys. You're driving along, you're on a trip, and we get lost. What do? We often do not pull over first thing and say, hey, maybe we're on the wrong road, we need to make a change. We keep going, don't we? We keep going because we tell ourselves that, you know, I'll make the best out of this situation. I'll just go down here a ways and then I'll make the best out of it. And it's not until we know that we're totally lost and we're in big trouble, we got to do something about it, that we pull over and we begin to make the change. Making the change. David said in Psalm 119, it was good for me to be afflicted. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Have you ever said that about your life? It was good for me to suffer so much. It was good for me to have so much pain in my life because it brought me to you, God. It brought me to know you better. The pain was a good thing. I want to be clear about this. I'm not saying that pain itself is good. I'm not saying that. But what is good is what God does through our lives in the pain, through the pain. I experience pain. That's one of the ingredients. The second one I want to look at is that I believe that God wants what's best for me. Do you believe that? Around here all the time, we often say this simple little phrase, God is good. All the time. But do you believe that? I believe that God wants what's best for me. Or do you believe that God is sitting up in heaven thinking of new and clever ways to make your life as miserable as He possibly can? The Bible says that God wants what's best in our lives. Isaiah 48, verse 17. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way that you should go. God wants what's best. And He says, I am here to show you what is best for you. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you try to read between the lines a little bit. You know what I mean by reading between the lines? Kathy, do you know what I mean by reading between the lines? She's shaking her head, yes. You know, kind of like when you're fixing to meet a young lady, guys, and you hear that she has a really great personality. Reading between the lines tells you she's not that good looking, right? Oh, you'll love her. She has a fantastic personality. Oh, yeah. You know what? You know, honestly, you know, I personally had have a problem. The Lord teaches and wants what's best for me. Remember when you were kids and your parents said, I just am doing what's best for you. It's not always what you wanted, was it? Was it always what you wanted? It better not have been. Parents don't do that. God wants what's best for your life, though. In Romans 8:32, the Bible tells us that He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? The Bible here is giving us a comparison. He's saying God gave His life for you. God gave Jesus Christ for you. He gave everything for you. He died for you so that you can have life. So if God went through all this extent, do you think He's intent on just making you miserable? If God went through the lengths of giving you Jesus Christ, do you think that He doesn't want what's best for you and He's not wanting to give you the best? The answer is obvious. Of course He wants what's best. He has a better life for you. And it always happens when I'm quiet, so that it's very obvious. Please turn off cell phones. It reminds me of a time, like one of our sons, the other day Charlie came home and he was playing outside and he had several splinters in his hand. And they're kind of annoying, painful, they have to come out. And he comes to Mom. I don't know if you know Jennifer well, but she's excellent at nursing. She's an excellent nurse. And she takes him, she gets the needles, and she gets the tweezers, and she begins to poke, and Charlie lets her. It doesn't feel good. It kind of hurts. And he kind of whines and cries, but he knows something. He knows that his mom loves him, and his mom wants the best for him, and she's not out to try to hurt him and to make things tough for him. And that changes his whole outlook on things. He can put up with a little bit of pain. He can put up with the difficulty because he knows Mom cares for him. Do you really know? Do you really believe that God wants what's best for you? If you can truly believe that, it will get a better perspective on your life. Because we all go through difficulties. And we all go through pains. Jesus said that in this life you will have troubles. In this life you will have tribulations. But if you know that God wants what's best for you, you can go through anything with Him. You can go through it. To think that God would send Jesus and now deny you the kind of joy and fulfillment that you need and want in life, it doesn't make sense. There's a third part of this change of heart that happens in all of us, and that is number three, I know God's truth. I know God's truth. Truth is one of the ingredients. I'm reminded of what's said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Lack of knowledge of God's truth, God's Word. There's a lot of knowledge out there. There's a lot of education out there. But it says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge of God's Word, God's truth. I have to know God's truth. In Proverbs 15, verse 14, it says, the discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. Another way, another translation I read says this, a wise person is hungry for truth, the fool feeds on trash. A wise person is hungry for what is true, but a fool will feed on anything. It's like my dog Amy. You can't keep her out of the trash. It is so annoying. If she gets loose and she gets around the trash, mind you, she's only a dachshund and she's fat and short legs, so she can't get up very high. But she'll do anything she can to get into trash. The fool feeds on trash. The difference between the two is this. Truth is something you have to go out and find. Trash is all around you. Trash is everywhere. You don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to go asking for it. It's going to be there. But you have to seek the truth. You have to earnestly seek it. Here's the danger then with this. When we're in pain, when we're hurting, sometimes we will do just about anything to get out of the pain. A starving person will eat out of a trash can. Right? When you're starving and you're hungry enough, you'll just eat rubbish out of a trash can. Because they're starving. And when I talk about trash, putting trash in our lives and in our minds, a lot of us think of things like entertainment. You know, the movies and the music and the television. There's a lot of trash. And there is a lot of trash, right? There's a lot of trash out there. You don't have to go looking for it. You can just drive down the road and you see billboards with trash on it. And it feeds the mind. But there's also a lot of other trash that we allow ourselves when we're in pain. A lot of the trash we get is perhaps some advice that is not necessarily based on the Bible. Unbiblical advice. And there's a lot of people willing to give advice. There's never a shortage of people willing to give their opinions and advice on things. And sometimes it's contrary to God. You're in a difficult situation, a difficult relationship. You got lots of friends giving you advice. You don't need to put up with that. Life is too short. You're supposed to enjoy life. Why don't you just get out of that relationship and enjoy life? That's trash. That's trash. God made you for relationships. God made you for commitment. And of course, all relationships are going to have difficulties. That's trash talk. Other trash talk, you've got to look out for number one. That's trash talk. God made you to serve people. He made you to look out for other people and to care and to love other people, not just look out for number one. I saw a T-shirt on somebody the other day and it had the saying, it's all about me. You ever seen a shirt like that? It's all about me. Let me tell you, that's trash talk T-shirt. Okay? But we get this all the time. There's even some people who are willing to dish out so-called Christian advice. Decisions that you're having to make in life. And maybe they'll come and say, you know, God just wants you to be happy. So just do, you know, make the decision that makes you happy. God wants you to be happy. Listen, that's trash talk. There are some decisions that may not be the happy decisions. There are some things in life that might not always lead to happiness, but it's the right thing to do. We got to be careful of eating from the trash. Even sometimes your own mind feeds you trash. Your own mind deceives you. How do you get truth in your life? You've got to seek it. You've got to pursue it. You've got to hunger for it and go after it. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 2 says, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is this saying? It's saying it has to start in here. It has to be a heart change. And you have to hunger for it. And you have to want it more than anything, more than silver, more than gold, more than wealth. And you have to pursue it and look for it. And the Bible says if you do that, you will find it. The rubbish finds you, but you have to look for the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So here's my question. What are you doing to make an investment in truth in your life right now? Are you investing? It's not going to happen without an investment. What are you doing? You're here right now, and that's a good start. And some of you, I'm pleased to see you because it tells me that you are seeking and you're serious about the truth. But I want to encourage you to go even farther. Go even farther. Passionately pursue the truth. That's why we encourage you into life groups. That's why I urge you to come on Sunday nights every week. Because we need to fill our minds with the truth. We need to seek it out. Search it. Find it. Absorb it. Because the trash finds us every day. It finds us. We don't have to go looking for it. What are you doing, though, as an investment? And it is an investment. It costs you something up front. But it pays off. Why is this so important? Because Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does it set you free from? Many things. Eating trash, for one thing. It sets you free to live a life that God wants you to live. He wants what's best. The ingredients so far. Number one was I experienced pain. What was number two? I believe that God wants what's best for me. Do you believe that? Number three was I know God's truth. And number four now is I do what God says. I do what God says. I have to do it. Colossians 2:7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Underline this word, continue. As you were taught, you need to continue. As you were taught, you need to do it. You need to act. When we act, that's when the change begins to happen. But it also took these other things to get us to that point. It also took a bit of pain in our lives. It also took realizing and believing that God wants what's best. It also took It also took understanding and knowing God's truth. But when we act, that's when the change begins to happen. But you know what the amazing thing is? Sometimes we can experience all the other three things. We can know God's truth. We can experience the pain. We can think that God wants what's best for us, but we still do not act upon it. That's the amazing thing about us. We need a change of heart. I believe that God wants what's best. I've got the pain. I know the truth. But I never get to the top of the hill and push myself over the edge and begin to do what God says. I want you to write down words. Write down one thing. Write down the words, one thing. Because I think that some of you in your life, there's one thing in your life that God wants of you right now. There's one thing in your life that God wants you to do. That God wants you to forsake, to confess. God wants you to restore relationships, offer forgiveness. There's something in your life. If you try to just set before yourself everything that God wants to do in your life for the rest of your life, sometimes it's overwhelming. But in your life, there's one thing that God wants you to do today. All God asks you to do is the next thing. The one thing. And then He'll have you do the next thing. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's to confess something. Maybe it's to confess a sin that you've been struggling with. And maybe you need to not only confess it to God, but you need to confess it to a brother or sister that you can trust in. The Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another. Sometimes we need to take that extra step and confess to our brothers and sisters something that we're struggling with. Maybe you're struggling with a sin. Maybe you need to restore a relationship. Maybe you need to restore a relationship with your husband or your wife. Maybe you're struggling to get a hold of your kids. What is it that God is speaking to your heart, to your mind about right now? What change is God wanting you to make in your life? He wants you to change your heart. And maybe these ingredients have been piling up, the pain. Maybe you've been knowing the truth. Maybe you've acknowledged God wants what's best in your life. It's time now to do something that God says. Some of you have been coming and listening to the messages week after week. And every time in your mind and your heart, you know that God is calling you. And you don't do anything. You leave. You don't act upon what it is that you've heard. Some of you have been coming and listening and you realize that you need salvation. You need salvation. You need God's forgiveness. You need a relationship with Him. And you've put it off. You've put it off. And maybe you've experienced the pain and you're learning the truth and and you believe that God wants what's best for you, well, it's time now to do something. And I can't urge you enough. Sometimes I want to go and I want to grab people and I want to shake them and bring them down to take care of some business with God. I want to do that, but I don't do that. Maybe I should start doing that. Sometimes I want to grab people and shake them because I believe that God is speaking to them. That they're so close, but they're resisting God. They're not doing what God said. When you and I think about this idea of a change of heart, about God doing something in our lives, there are honestly some things that get in the way. Maybe one of those things that gets in the way in your life is this thing of fear. Maybe it's fear. Not knowing what God will do in your life. It's that fear of change. It's that fear. Another thing that sometimes gets in the way, perhaps, is anger, unforgiveness. Maybe there's anger working inside of you. Maybe there's some unforgiveness that is still rooted inside. You need to be able to let that go. But it starts off with a decision, with a step, and it's a change of heart that only God can do in you. But are you open and are you willing to allow God to change your heart, to throw that switch, to make that change today? Are you willing? Sometimes what gets in the way is just procrastination. You mean to do it. You have good intentions, but you get so busy in your mind, so occupied with everything else, that you put it off. What is it that God is calling you to do? In closing, the Bible says in Luke 5:32, Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Who's a sinner? Who is a sinner? Are you? Are you a sinner? I've asked people that question before, and sometimes you get the response, "No, I'm not a sinner." What they mean is, compared to somebody else, I'm not that bad. That's what they mean. And yes, if you compare yourself to somebody else, you're always going to find somebody worse than you. If you can't find somebody worse than you, you must be pretty bad. And you need to be saved. But let me tell you, there's always going to be somebody worse than you. But we don't compare ourselves to each other. That's stupid. That's foolish. We compare ourselves only to God and His righteousness. He's the standard. And to compare ourselves to anything else is kind of like, picture this righteous line, and it's 10 kilometers high. And you and I are up here, and you know, maybe you're 6 foot tall, and you come saying, "Well, I'm 6 foot, he's only 5'11 and a half, you know, and I'm doing pretty good." But man, you're still 10 kilometers off the mark. You can't do it. It's impossible. That's why we compare ourselves to God, His righteousness. He says, all have sinned. Next to God, all have sinned. Next to Him, you've missed the mark. We failed. He's perfect. You are not. God cannot accept sin, any little bit of sin. It's impossible. So we've all missed. We failed. To compare ourselves to each other is just foolishness. But the good news, the gospel is that Christ came to save sinners. And you are a sinner. He came to save you. What do you do? I'll tell you what you don't do. It's not about you turning over a new leaf. It's not about you coming to church, trying to make changes in your life. You come to God in faith, receiving Jesus Christ and the work that He's done for you, and you ask Him into your life to save you, to forgive you, to cleanse you. And He's promised that He doesn't turn away anybody who comes to Him in faith. And He promises to take your sin and separate it from you as far as the east is from the west. And He remembers it no more. That's what He does. But you've got to make the move. That change of heart, that switch that's thrown, it has to take place in your heart. And I urge you to respond. What is it that God wants to change in your heart today? It's refocus time. It's a time to refocus, to step back, take a look, examine some things. God wants to change your heart. We've taken a look at four ingredients. Are you willing? Will you let Him? Please stand with me. I remember a time when I was a teenager. And like many teenagers, I wasn't that serious about God. I was more interested in girls and cars and trying to get through school. And God kind of just was a side thing for me. But I remember one time going to a camp. And by the way, this is a plug for camp, teen camp. It's a life-changing time. But I went to a teen camp. I was about 16. And there was this speaker there. And, you know, he was talking about God and how much He loved me, how He had a plan for me, a purpose. Nothing that wasn't already taught to me. Okay? But sometimes when you hear somebody say it, somebody else, perhaps in a little different way, suddenly it was like that switch was thrown. There was a change of heart. Something happened inside of me where all of a sudden the penny dropped and I said, oh, that's what it means. There was a change of heart. Some of you in here today need that change of heart. God is speaking. God is calling. Some of you need to take a step of faith and to say, I don't care about anything else. Today, God is calling me to trust Him as my Savior. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Stop playing around. Put aside your pride and settle this issue today. Some of you, God is speaking about other things, things in your life. Maybe you've opened the door to some things that you never should have. You've allowed some sin in your life that you never should have. God is calling you to repent, to confess it, to forsake it. Relationships bad? God is calling you to mend those relationships. What is He speaking to you about? I urge you today not to do nothing, but to respond to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, for Your words of truth, Your words of life. Lord, I know that You are calling. You are reaching out. Lord, there are some in here that You want to save if they will only come to You, if they will only call on Your name. You're ready and You're willing, Lord. I know there are some who have allowed things in their life that they've compromised. They've settled, Lord, for second best in areas. There are some young people here who have walked close, hand in hand with the world. And they've been eating garbage. They've been eating trash. Father, whatever the need is, I pray that they will have courage, that change would take place, that switch would be thrown. They would have no choice but to respond to You today. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As the singers quietly sing in the background, would you come? Would you respond to God? Would you come? If you need to pray with someone, to talk with someone, that's okay. If you need to come for salvation, meet me here. Meet me here. and let me know, and I'll have someone pray with you, talk with you, show you in God's Word how you are saved, how you are born again. Will you come? Don't hesitate. Don't wait. You know. You know when God has been speaking to you. Is still open. Will you come? Moment. Don't pass this up. Don't pass this day up. Don't put it off till another time. Will you come? If God is speaking to your heart, you need to respond. Let Him do that change in your heart. Father, I believe, Lord, that despite anything else, despite myself, You are working in hearts. Father, I still believe some are resisting You. They're putting You off through fear or procrastination, whatever reason, Father. And I pray that You would penetrate, that You would do that change that needs to be done, that they would allow You to do that change. In Jesus' name. Let's sing one more time, just one more time, and then we'll close. If you don't respond, we will close. One more time.